Firstly, yes, when somebody wakes up on the wrong side of the bed in the morning, love keeps on loving earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And then he, right after that, says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. When we deal with other people's stuff, it's very easy to grumble. So we need this supernatural love, and it's the only love that comes from the Holy Spirit. We can't drum this up on our own because we naturally want to grumble. James 5, in talking in the context of the church body, and when we have needs of prayer, we get the elders together and anoint the sick. He begins by saying, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. And then he talks about prayer, which is why we're so much emphasizing. Churches can grow. I watched a video this last week about how in the back in the 80s and 90s, and about time I was graduating from Bible school, the movement, the Willow Creek movement, and all these churches that said, okay, we need to have church services that make everybody feel comfortable and happy, and so they'll come. And they did that. They took out some of the old hymns, and they took out, they added some rock music that people like, and then they said, well, you know what, maybe we should make everything as comfortable as possible. People from that generation started to flock into the churches, and we have what's called the mega church movement. But guess what's happening now? There's been multiple hundreds of mega churches that have closed their doors because it was built on making people happy, not people saying, I need Jesus. They were not discipled in the deep things of God. They were just told how to live their best life now. They were just told how to have three steps of having a prosperous marriage or a bank account. And we didn't talk about the tough things about what suffering does and obedience to Jesus Christ and repentance and doing the hard work of discipleship. So prayer is God's way of growing the church. My house will become a house of prayer. He addressed that, Jesus, when he went into the temple and they were selling things and the Pharisees were doing things for their own gain. And he says, you made it a den of thieves. Now listen to this. Verse 17 of James 5, he says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months, and it did not rain on the earth. Wow. Maybe we should start praying fervently that it will not snow tomorrow. But the power of prayer. He says, then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, and it's in the context of rain stopping and that powerful miracle. He says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. There's the roof. So we got to become roof people. And roof people are praying people. Roof people pray together. Roof people knock on the door of heaven, like Jesus says, the widow that persistently prays. They become, God, will you build your church? Will you save souls in our community? Love becomes a roof and a praying roof, because the righteous prayer, the prayer of the righteous, avails much. God's given us that gift of prayer, of being tapping into the power of the Spirit. That's why in the beginning of Acts, he says, wait for the promise. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so we have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's not going to be in control of us unless we become praying people. We cannot be controlled by the Spirit without yielding to God in dependence and prayer. And that's what the early church did. Did they say, oh no, we're just about to be persecuted, so we need to get our defenses up, and we need to be ready when they come to take us, and that we'll have a place to hide, and then we need to have good children's programs, and we need to have all these programs going on. No, they went to God in prayer, and they said, God, look at their threat, help us. And he touched them with the fire of God, with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, and the place was shaken. We need that today more than ever. People are leaving churches in droves across America. And they're not just going to other churches. They're just kind of fading away. It is an epidemic. But the only answer is for the church to get on their knees and begin to pray for souls in the kingdom of God. That we are here not to make people feel happy or comfortable or meet every possible need. And we try out of love to meet needs and meet the needs of the children of raising them in Christ. But our job also is not to entertain them either. It is to give them the word of God and to raise them in Christ. We're here for people that love Jesus and want to know Jesus, and we want to know Jesus. Love endures silently as a protective oath. Number two, enduring love demonstrates confidence and trust in others, even when others may let you down. Love, he says in verse 7, believes all things. Demonstrates confidence and trust. So what does that mean? As we break down that word, believing all things, it literally just means to have faith in with respect to a person or thing, or to give them credit. And then the last part of that is to entrust one's spiritual well-being to Jesus Christ. So we break that down in three things. Enduring love shows confidence in others, even though others may let us down, when we trust God. So we're only able to show confidence in others, knowing that other people are going to let us down. You will let you down. I let myself down. It's our human nature. But how can I continue to have confidence in other people and believe in them and look for the good in them? It's because I trust God. Jesus says, entrust yourself to nobody, but yet he went and willingly served the disciples who all abandoned him at the cross, Judas who turned his back on him, the disciples that were following him. It says suddenly you get partway through the Gospels and none of the people, it says all those that were following him left. All the great crowds after all the miracles. But he trusted in God and continued to pour out love in a sacrificial manner. So enduring love shows confidence to others, even though when they're going to let us down, because our trust is in God. Enduring love also finds the best in others, even when they don't deserve a second chance or any chance. We can do that when we trust God. So this does not mean that we're always going to find the best in others. That doesn't mean everybody's perfect. We can't go around saying the world is perfect and everybody is good, because that's not true. The Bible says everyone is full of sin and evil to the core. And apart from a saving work of Jesus, there is no hope. But what does this mean when we look for the good in others? It means that people are evil. But what it means is that we hope to the end that God will show mercy in that person's behalf and change their life. So this kind of love treats people in a way of, I still have hope, God is going to change your life, versus, well, look at what you're doing. Or focusing on the negative or the bad things in their life and trying to find out. Isn't it great to be in an environment where people are not constantly scrutinizing you and trying to catch you doing something wrong or find something wrong in you, versus an environment where you're constantly being watched? How can I get them? How can I catch them? I'm going to wait for them to slip up. I'm going to find something. I'm going to meticulously look. I'm going to meticulously analyze everything that they say. And I got something. Maybe partly. And then add a few more details to it. Brothers and sisters, we must have an environment of love that gives people a second chance and looks for what is best in other people. Here's Matthew chapter 18. He says that Peter came and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Well, that sounds like a perfect number. Seven and that's it and you're done. 7-11. Jesus said to him, I do not say seven times, but 70 times seven. What Jesus was saying there, he said, I want you to forgive infinitum, perfectly forever, over and over and over and over. And brothers and sisters, that grates against my human nature. Because once they get to strike three, they're out. I don't want to get hurt by them again. But enduring love gives people a chance. You see, love, F.F. Bruce, the commentator, says love is always eager to believe the best and put the most favorable construction on ambiguous actions. And we go through life and we watch people and we don't always know exactly what's going on in their lives. And so there's ambiguous actions that we see all the time. But what is he saying there is that they put it in the most favorable construction. If we're going to be loving disciple makers, that means we find what people are thriving in, what they're good at. And if there's something a little bit ambiguous, we might be able to give them the truth of the scripture and point them in the right direction, but we don't focus on those things. You know, we kind of become like this with our brains. He says, brain, look. Good, 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 good. And my wife, she does these things good. And but what our brain does is says, not now, can't you see I'm busy focusing on the one bad rock? I think we lack love in our churches today because we're focused on the one little bad thing that we can find. The one weak. What is the one? You know, that's what the devil does. We have a lot of devil following people within our churches, don't we? I'm guilty. I can just find the bad thing and let my brain rehearse it over and over and over and over and over again, then somehow I feel happy. But that accomplishes nothing. I need the powerful work of the Holy Spirit to come in and clean my mind and my heart out and look at God's plan. Because what is God's plan, especially for the fellow believers? It is to grow in Jesus Christ. It is to mature. It is to overcome the things of the past. And so when we highlight the negative and focus on that. And that doesn't mean we don't ignore sin. But when we have an environment, you know, it's kind of like when I hear stories of my wife or her family, and although she experienced the tail end of communism and her mother and father and grandparents saw a lot more of it, of living in an environment where one slip up, so people didn't talk, they didn't have expression. It was always very anxiety filled living. Well, what if I get caught? What if I, if they hear me? And you know, and I remember the story, and I love this. My mother-in-law turning the, was it the TV? Yeah, turning the TV way up in the apartment so she could type Christian poems and things to disperse to the people in the church so that they would not hear the typing. Brothers and sisters, enduring love demonstrates confidence and trust even when they let you down. And here's the last thing I want to bring up about that. Enduring love entrusts others to God to spiritually grow when we trust in God. So if we have trust in God, I worded that not in the greatest way, but if we have trust in God, we're able to entrust other people to God. When your baby, when you've had children, made a mess of their diapers, did you just focus on the mess in the diaper and say, "Ew, I'm not going near that," and let them stay in that? Let them cry, let them get a rash, all those sorts of things? No, we went and changed the diaper. We can go and change other people's diapers, and I know it's a rough image to have in our minds, but sometimes discipleship is like that. Okay, we're back to square one again. We just talked about this issue 3 weeks ago, two times in that day. Now we're back to the same thing again. So what do? We go into the mode of, you need to do this, and I'm going to make you do this, and that sort of thing. But if we entrust that, okay, they're God's people, God is the one responsible to make them grow, I'm going to help them again, but I'm going to do so in a loving manner because God has this. They belong to Him. I entrust them to God. Number three, enduring love lives in expectation of God's future completion of our salvation. He says love hopes all things. In other words, to expect, or it usually means to anticipate with great pleasure. Now, there's a difference between the times that I've lived my Christian life focused with pleasure about what's to come in heaven versus focusing on the problems that I'm enduring right now in my life. You see, enduring love enables us to live life in pleasure as we anticipate God's completion of our salvation. And we're talking about while we're going through trials, while we're facing sickness, when we face a derailment or persecution, that we are able to face it with joy. When he says, count it all joy when you face trials, this is the stuff of that, because this kind of love puts our focus on what is to come. Enduring love enables us to live a life of joy and confidence in God as we wait for God's salvation. Are you waiting for God's salvation today? Are you looking towards that, or are you looking at how bad the world is right now? Because it's bad. Jesus is coming soon. But the way we get through is to look at the promises of God and what's to come. Enduring love enables us to live a life of faith. To believe God, and I give this definition of faith before, it's believe. Faith is believing God no matter how I feel, knowing that God promises a good result. Faith is believing the truth of the Word of God no matter how I feel, knowing that God promises a good result. I'm going to keep going because of what God says and God's Word says. I don't feel it. And the world is telling us right now, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. If it feels good, do it. That's why people end up in a lifestyle of sin. It's kind of like this, though. We need faith. When you're relaxing and enjoying the weekend and Monday runs up on you like this guy when you're sitting on an edge of a cliff. That's how I feel sometimes on Mondays. Church is great. We're singing these songs. We're focused on the glory of heaven. And then Monday comes and somebody calls and there's an issue or a problem, or somebody at work looks at you sideways or undercuts you or does something deceptive to make you look bad in front of your boss. That's when we need this kind of enduring faith and love. And I love this passage in Titus where it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. What? Now I want you to just stop, close your eyes just for a minute here. I'm not going to spray you with water or do anything weird. But I want you to think, how would your life look different if I told you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Jesus is coming back and you need to share the gospel with as many people as possible? How would your life change? The things you do, the things you think, the attitudes that you have. Think about that for just a moment. You can open your eyes. God, give us that love. God, give us that tenacity, waiting for the blessed hope. Jesus could come back at any minute. It changes our lives. Enduring love lives in expectation of the future. And number four, enduring love does not give up when hard times come. It says love endures all things. And when we break that word down, it's three things. Enduring love does not retreat or run from difficulties or troubles. Don't raise your hand. Is there any runners in here from problems? Problem runners. What does water do? You know, we're having problems with our driveway and we have to make ditches and so it doesn't wash all the way. Water goes to the path of least resistance. Love is not like that. Love endures and does not retreat or run from difficulties and troubles. How many times have you said, that's it, I'm done with so-and-so. Or I'm done with this work situation. Or whatever it is, you fill in your own blanks. Enduring love does not retreat. Also, it says enduring love holds fast to our faith in Christ when trials come. We're finding a lot of church people that we talked about this on Wednesday in Hebrews that have been in church or experienced the things of God, but they're really not saved, are leaving Christ and abandoning Christ. But those that have been captivated by enduring love hold fast to their faith in Christ even when trials come. Now, if you're like me, we're real humans, and I don't know, there's been times where if we're just honest, we've said, you know what, I don't know about this church Christian thing anymore. Why are people so mean? Or why do people have to do these things? The thoughts cross my mind. I'm sure it has yours too. Is this really real? What's the reality of it all? Why are we meeting for church? But when we focus on the love of Jesus Christ, love holds fast to our faith in Christ even when difficulties come. And then here's the other thing, and this is where we need the Holy Spirit's help, is this kind of enduring love in the Greek. It means it's brave and calm when treated badly by others. I can think back over my life and think, well, was not brave and calm there. They said this, and I had to give a response and make sure they knew that I'm going to one-up them. This kind of enduring love is calm, but yet brave when we're mistreated by other people. And last of all, enduring love does not fall or fly away. You use that word, love never ends. It's the idea of falling out or just giving up, not lasting. Enduring love does not change, be strong one day and weak on another. And when we're talking about our marriages, we're talking about our relationships with one another, we're talking about our relationships with our coworkers. How is it, God, when I'm acting in my love, it's going to be real strong that on this day because I'm in a good mood or I had my favorite dinner or things went well for me on the commute to work. But then the next day when those things didn't happen, I'm the most unloving, grumbly, gripey person that there is. Enduring love that he talks about, he says it never ends. It's not strong on one day and weak another. And then the other part of this is enduring love does not stop or get defeated when under attack, terror, or grief. Have you ever been under attack? If you're a Christian, the Bible says you'll be attacked by the evil one all the time and that you're in this battle. And recently a friend has encouraged me once again, you know, when you wake up, Mike, do you pray through the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6? Do you remember what God has given you? That you do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so I've been trying to pray that more. I resisted doing it. It's like, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, when we start doing that, focusing on a belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, what God has given us, we don't get defeated when we're under attack or we experience terror and grief. And brothers and sisters, we are living in times, and we know that our brothers and sisters overseas who have been beheaded by the droves because of their faith in Jesus Christ, or they have their families raped in front of them and things like that, have experienced trauma. And terror and grief. What's going to happen with us when we're visited by terror and grief? This is the kind of love that never ends. How do these people, how did Erica Kirk say, "I forgive my husband's assassin"? Because love never ends. Enduring love does not suddenly go away or disappear or become invalid. It is eternal. Love keeps giving even when the other person has nothing to offer in return. It is without limits and conditions. And I remember hearing stories of those that have been beaten in prison, but they keep giving the prison guard love, and eventually that prison guard comes to Christ, the communist prison guard. Or think about the spouse where their partner, their spouse gets Alzheimer's and doesn't remember who they are and can't feed themselves. Do we say, "Oh, that's it, I'm leaving you for another person that has the right presence of mind"? When he talks about this kind of love, it's a kind of love that never ends, whether the person can keep giving love or not giving love. It's without limits and conditions. See, the Corinthian church had pride. He says, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. And they took pride that they had the spiritual gift of knowledge. And that gift of knowledge is a supernatural. We're not talking about just science or knowing facts, but we're talking about a knowledge from the Holy Spirit to be able to know how God is working in today's world in a very specific way. He says, if anyone imagines he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know, but if anyone loves God, he is known by God. You see, it's love that endures forever. F.F. Bruce says, love does not belong to this age, but reigns in the eternal order. And so when he says that tongues cease, prophecy will cease, this knowledge, like I said, it's not the knowledge that we think of as science. It's knowledge that comes from God in a supernatural way that enables us to live in this evil world. But he says, without love, that's nothing. That's going to go away, but love is going to last forever. And so when we look and focus on the cross now in grace, I want to ask the worship team if they could come this morning. Love says you are not noise. Love says, I hear you, I understand you. That's what we received at the cross. Love says, I know you all the way through. And despite your deepest fear, you are absolutely not nothing. You are highly valuable. That's what Jesus spoke to us on the cross when he died in our place. Love says, you are worth giving away everything that I have. Jesus gave all of his life for us. Love says, you are worth giving everything I have. And love says, I would die for you. The Word of God says there's no greater love than someone who would give their life for their friends. Love lasts forever. The things we experience here and now are all going to go away. It's great to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow in the power of God, because that's how we survive as the church in this present age. But love is what's going to last for eternity. Love is the essence of why we live the Christian life. It's the love that Jesus has shown to us. So this enduring love, don't ever forget, it silently serves as a protective roof over others. It bears all things. It demonstrates confidence and trust in others, even though others may let us down. Love lives in the expectation of God's future completion of our salvation. It lives with joy through trials. It does not give up when hard times come. and it does not fall or fly away. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your work of mercy and grace in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, we want this kind of love. And Lord, we know and admit this morning we can't attain to this on our own. We can't make it happen. So would you focus and tune our hearts on your love that is spoken to us? Would you empower us by the Spirit to practice our spiritual gifts, to practice our daily living with this kind of love? Lord, we say, help. Come and minister and touch each person today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you stand with us. We just confess that having that love, that ability, that endurance, can never come from us, but